Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Jeff Davis, founder of Black Men Run Boston. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to The Common.
Hello, Daryl C. Murphy. Thank you for having me here.
Oh,
it's exciting.
Man. I'm so glad to have you here, man. We want to talk with you about how the running world, right? This activity that has this entire world with communities around it, how it could be more welcoming and inviting, right? Because we're talking to you a few weeks after the incident in Newton, which you were not there.
I was not there, but my people were there, and I have a lot of tangential experiences and conversations. I have thoughts and feelings.
So we're going to get into that. And the incident I'm talking about is a couple weeks ago during the Boston Marathon, some Black folks who were spectating, Black folks who are runners themselves and members of running groups, felt like they were targeted by the Newton Police Department. And the incident kind of raised some questions about who is running for? Like, you see people out and about with their shorts on and their shoes, and they're running, you know, usually, you know, some fit white folks or something like that, you know what I mean? And it looks normal to you, right? And then you see a brother like me, you know, my bald head, my dark skin, I don't know, don't look quite right to some people, right? So we want to talk about that question of, you know, who is running for. We want to kind of get into that a bit. But first, to help us do that, tell us about Black Men Run Boston, the organization you founded.
Yeah, and so first I would say Black Men Run Boston is a chapter, one of like 40 chapters around the country in a national network of the Black Men Run organization. And I had the humble opportunity and privilege to start that chapter here. To your point about running, like, you know, there are runners everywhere. So I felt like there was no space for me. To your point, you know, bald-headed Black man, bearded Black man, right? It's different when you see yourself, when you see your people. And we can be out. I was out here individually for a long time. I've been running for 25 years. Most of that time has been on my own. And the story of kind of how we got to Black Man Run Boston is very much a story of, like, grief, my own kind of personal grief, in a search for a place for restoration. And so for me, it's summer 2020. We just found out they murdered George. We just found out they murdered Breonna and Ahmaud and Tony McDade. That was my grief. That was a huge grieving process. The anger, the frustration, the sick and tired of being sick and tired. And, you know, I think so we're seeing this a lot in our country right now where we're moving forward, but it's in a space of, all right, how do we do better in a space that we don't really know how to? And for me, it was always running. So I went for a run. My wife, who sent me a link to this virtual run, is a run for justice. And it was like, Black Man Run. I was like, this is dope. I'm Black. I'm a man. I run. where my people are in Boston.
Boom.
Right? Nothing. Mm. And so I reach out to a national group, and they say, okay, you can start one, though. And I was like, oh, man. And so talking to some trusted members, we decided, yeah, we can do this and create a space for Black men, because maybe there's another brother out here who was hurting.
Word.
Maybe there's another brother who needs to have that release of that running allows you, so they can tap into some of those dormant feelings, thoughts, and insecurities that they don't normally have a safe space to do so.
Word.
You know as well as I do as a Black man that we've been wearing masks since before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And so having the space for brothers to take those masks off was critical.
Take me with you on a run through the streets of Boston. You know, where are we going? What are we looking for? What's the pace? Talk to me.
I'm a start with the last part because I feel like that is a part that is understated. We'll ask you, Daryl, how many spaces do you feel you can just be yourself?
Oh, man, not many.
Uh-huh. That part. That part right there, right?
Yeah.
And so it's not about pace. It's about us. It's about our health. It's about our wellness. So I'd like to welcome you out to our Sankofa Saturday. It's our run where we honor our ancestors and we honor ourselves and invest in each other.
Noted.
Our home base is Peabody Square, a.k.a. Ashmont T Station.
Okay.
And so you'll find us in Dorchester at the corner right outside Ashmont. Our second home is Nubian Square because. And so right in the heart of Nubian Square, you know, and it's Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock. What you can expect is typically a 1 mile option if you want to walk, a 3 mile or like 5K option if you're new to running or just kind of early on, and a 5 mile option if you want to go a little bit further.
So, Jeff.
Yes, sir.
What I'm hearing is Black Men Run Boston, and I guess perhaps Black Men Run nationally is a safe space.
200% yes. Absolutely yes.
It's a place that's welcoming and it welcomes everybody, right? Like
for
you
sure.
said,
yeah.
you know. Not everybody's going to do the 6 minute miles. You can come anyway. We're going to help you find your pace. You have this kind of support system, right?
Yeah.
And that's necessary, right? I think
that's right.
We both agree that that's necessary for us being Black men in America, right?
100%.
And tell me about some of the hostilities that you might come across that might lead you to need that group, right? Because, you know, the incident in Newton, that's kind of obvious, right? But what are some of the more subtle, everyday incidents that might occur?
I mean, I'll give you a couple. If we're going to really talk about it, we're going to need another podcast, bro. So, I mean, frankly, you already know. If you're Black in America, you know this, but... You know, I'll give you one incident. We were working with a partner organization locally in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, like, we run for ourselves and for our health.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a white advocate of ours who was, like, partnering up with us. And occasionally we would run with our allies and advocates. So she was running with us this time. She's like, hey, I work in a store on Newberry Street. So after we go for this run, we'll come by and, like, let's talk about how we can work on that partnership and things that we can do locally, right?
Mm-hmm.
So super dope. All love, that's great. So we ran like 3-4 miles, came back. And so imagine there's about 8 Black men and like a white woman in Newberry, 9:30 on a Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. These 2 older white women come down the street. Now, you have people running on Newberry all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so here I am, you can see me, I'm in my Black Man Run, you know, hoodie. So I look like this on the street. It's like, again, a few other brothers with us. So these 2 white ladies walk down, older white women. They stop in front of us, and she looks at me, and she goes, huh, what's this all about?
Oof, that's, yeah.
And this is why, part of the reason why I love this brotherhood so much, because before I could even, like, finish my eye roll and walk away, one of my other brothers just looked at her and said, we're just here.
Right. Because that's all it is.
That's all it is.
That's all it is. We're just here.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even need to know what you're doing. They don't need to know the organization. The fact is, we are in this space with you, and you have to deal with that.
That's it. That's it. The second incident I'll offer is once a month, we with our sisters and Black Girls Run. So it's like just having like a Black picnic every month.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't want that, right?
Man, listen, I'm ready. It's May. It's nice outside. You got me thinking about it.
Man, it's all love. And so here we are. So we're at the finish line of our run. We're clapping each other up. Come on, let's go. So there's this little hill. I call it Hood Heartbreak. And so we're coming
up. That's kind of a take on Heartbreak Hill in the Boston Marathon.
You already know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're coming up Hood Heartbreak. And you just, Daryl, let's go. You can do it. Finish. Keep your eyes up. Let's go. And so it's like now 25, 30 of us because both our groups are together. Well, a squad car pulls up behind us.
Oh, boy.
A couple of other sisters and brothers, like, you know, talk to the police officers in the car. It's like, hey, like, you know, they're pulling up. Like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, well, someone said there was a fight.
Let the silence speak for itself.
Those are just 2 days of running while black in Boston.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and you know, either of those situations could have taken a turn.
Exactly.
Which, yeah, which speaks to, like, the importance of what you do. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. Let me ask you this.
Please.
Let's just say those two white ladies are sitting here with you right now.
Sure.
Right? What would you tell them? And people like them, people who participate in this running world and people who spectate and see this running world, what would you tell them needs to change to make this safer and more inclusive for everyone? And I know we're centering this conversation on black men.
Sure.
But this is something that benefits, I think,
everyone.
Everybody, right?
For sure.
So, yeah, what would you say?
I would ask them actually a question. I wouldn't tell them anything. I don't believe humans listen to you when you tell them stuff. Mm. You got to hear it. You got to hear it for yourself, to yourself a lot of times. So what I would ask them is, what made you question my presence on the street?
Mm-hmm.
I would ask them to ask themselves, if I were a white man, would you be curious about my presence? Would you have any curiosity about my intent for being in this space?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I think about Boston specifically being a more inclusive space for running, it's opening up avenues to and access for resources.
What can organizations do? Like the BAA, Boston Athletic Association, like some of these running-centric stores. What can they do to be more supportive?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And the first thing I would just say is, you can help us stay in the game. Like, African Americans in this country have extreme racialized health disparities. Again, taking years off our life. The number one killer of black people in this country is cardiac issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so organizations like the BAA and other retailers, whoever, help us stay in the game. Maybe that's through gear. I mean, shoes ain't cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Running gear ain't cheap, right? Maybe, hey, it is February in Boston. You know what would be nice? Running indoors. How do you help us stay in the game? We have brothers in our chapter who are dealing with housing insecurity. We have brothers who have been dealing with food insecurity. For those brothers who are new, who don't know that they actually have a place in our circle every Saturday, can you, organizations, help them stay and persist in that space?
Mm-hmm. And I just want to clarify.
Yeah.
We're talking about running. You're saying folks can join as long as they can run or walk. I'm thinking for folks with disabilities, are they welcome as well to join black men?
Absolutely. Join us in our warm-up or our cool-down, right? So that it's more than just that run. So absolutely, we would accept folks with disabilities.
Well, you know, Jeff, with that, if people are interested in joining Black Men Run Boston, where can they find you? Where should they meet you?
Appreciate that. So the best way to find us is on Instagram, at Black Men Run Boston, or our tag is at BMR Boston. You can also find our information on our website, blackmenrun.com/Boston. And there's another app that we use called Halo to organize our runs. And there's a lot of running groups or POC groups in the city that use that app. So Pioneers Run Club, we got Trailblazers Run Club. We're all on Halo. So it's a beautiful black and brown community over there. Come check us out.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Jeff, man, thank you so very much, man. This has been a fantastic conversation. Thank you so much.
I can't wait for you to come walk and run with us, Daryl.
Listen, man, I'm getting back out there, so you're probably going to see me out there. We're going to talk. That's founder of Black Men Run Boston, Jeff Davis. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you have a running experience you would like to share with us, hit us up on Instagram at WBURTheCommon or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. And now it is that time for me to let you know that The Common is produced by Caitlin Harrop and Franny Monahan. It's mixed by Emily Jankowski, Matt Reed, and Paul Vitkus. And it's edited by Ben Brock Johnson. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you soon.